Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use Podcast 20, that's PODCAST20 for 20% off an annual subscription. We are excited for today's new episode where Rhiannon Potke and I preview the Super Regionals heading into postseason play, week two of postseason play. Can't believe it. Now I'm joined by Rhiannon Potke. Rhi, how are you doing this week after a monstrous weekend of regionals?
I feel like I'm still recovering from the regionals and then still like trying to get excited. I'm very excited about the Supers, but I'm at that point where I need to transition over because I'm still, it was such a whirlwind and so much great softball and so many crazy results and just really like best time of year. So I'm really excited about, you know, looking forward to these Supers. There's a whole bunch of good matchups, but still kind of reflecting on what we saw last weekend.
Yeah, and we won't go in too much to the regionals, but we'll do a little bit of a recap. And I think the biggest, there's a couple big storylines, but the biggest I believe is the number two seed in the tournament, Florida State being knocked off by Mississippi State. Mississippi State beat the Seminoles twice. And I know, Reed, that you've covered both of those squads all season long. Down in Tallahassee, that was just a shocker. Honestly, really unexpected because we've seen Florida State play big and really big games. So to see them not advance to Supers, I think we were all shocked. What do you got on that Tallahassee regional?
Yeah, that was definitely the shocker for me. And nothing against Mississippi State's a great team. It was more just the fact that we've seen Florida State, like that's their MO, right? Big games, they get a peak at the right time. They come through in the clutch. Just always expect them to figure it out. Because that's what they've done all season, right? And they didn't. And credit to Mississippi State, one of my favorite programs in terms of just the makeup of how they run that program. And they're a quality squad. And they've had some really, like, you know, this season they had a lot of series that could have gone one way or the other. And they have all the components and they put it together at the right time. So and now they get to host a super regional. So it's just craziness. But that was definitely the shocker for me. There was a few surprises, but that one jumped off the page to me right when I saw it. I'm like, wow, this, no matter what happens, nothing's going to top this for the upsets of the weekend here.
Speaking of unseeded teams and upsets, they'll be playing Arizona, who took down Mizzou in Columbia on the road. Arizona, if you would have told me that they were going to be in a super regional, I don't know, 5 weeks ago, I would have said, you're absolutely crazy. You're insane. They were having struggles in the circle. Now, albeit Hannah Bowen was hurt for a good chunk of the season, but gosh, Taryn Mott has got her pitchers throwing incredible in Bowen and Nets and shutting down that Mizzou offense who lately had been quite hot. Rhi, what do you got on that Columbia regional? Because again, another unseeded team, it'll be Arizona versus Mississippi State in the Starkville regional.
I know. Who would have thunk that? I don't think anyone, if anyone's bracket had that and you're not married to a Wildcat and you're not a Mississippi State alum, question you. Their pitching was great. And I will qualify this though. Missouri's offense, they hadn't scored more than three runs the whole month. So, I mean, they were clutch, but not necessarily hot. But they've always kind of been known for their, you know, that they could break out at any time. So there wasn't, that's what I'm curious to see this coming weekend. Cause they're going to obviously have an offense that has been producing more runs that they're facing. But I mean, they had it going. That's not like those two, I watched every game. I wasn't sure if they're going to throw Bowen for a third straight time. And she went with Nets and it paid off. Just a really great performance. And I think, you know, and I think Arizona would have even told you, I mean, when they started in the pack over, you know, for the first few weeks, it was looking like, would we even make the tournament? And, you know, Caitlin Lowe, the head coach, will tell you they were just searching for their identity and they seem to hopefully have found it. And they've kind of, you know, once you get that momentum, man, it's powerful. So if those pitchers can take that confidence and keep it rolling, you know, they're not new to this. They face great lineups in the Pac-12. They face tough opponents. So we'll see, but they earned everything that they got this weekend with that pitching performance. And, you know, Charlize Palacios with the solo home run was all they needed in that clinching game, and some great defensive plays as well. So, you know, one of the Pac-12s saying, hey, look at us. And we're all saying, we'd love to look at you. We just can't find you anywhere on TV, but you're showing us now that you really are great.
Speaking of the Pac-12 and unseeded teams, the last time we had unseeded supers, a pair of unseeded supers, Hofstra USF in 2012, and then Houston and OSU in 2011. Our very own Graham Hayes was breaking that down for us. But got a pair of unseeded regionals. So we just talked about Arizona and Mississippi State. And then we head over, like you said, Rhea, the pack. Oregon State and Stanford will be playing in the Palo Alto Super Regional. Again, another set of unseeded teams. We've been talking about Alana Vada. We've been talking about the Stanford pitching staff, but I really was really impressed with Jessica Allister and the plan that the Cardinal had against Montana Fouts to get out of the Tuscaloosa Regional. And, you know, and they're going to host this weekend. Again, if you would have told me that we would have five Pac-12 teams in supers, I would have said you were crazy. So what are your thoughts on Oregon State, Stanford?
Yeah, that's that one I would have never picked. I mean, I you know, respect all, you know, their staff and respect their players, but just no way in heck I would have ever picked that one to come out. And Stanford, I honestly think they're probably like, we're like all their staff at the campus that has to host these things is like, what? We all have to come back? Like we're hosting something? Because I don't think they were probably prepared for this. You know, it's like you pray, but you never know. Great. Yeah, as you said, Vodder, I mean, Stanford's thing is they need the pitching because they're, you know, they're going to be in low scoring games, but they actually, you know, came through with a decent amount of offense in the Alabama, which that actually has to inspire more confidence in the pitching because the pitching's been there all season. Right. And Oregon State, I was here in Knoxville. They came to Tennessee. I got to get out there and see them in person a few times, and man, that team just, Mariah Mazon, I mean, she's going to give the Tennessee staff and players nightmares because of what she did to them this season, dating back to Mary Nutter. Just great in the circle and great at the plate. And obviously their freshman, Sarah, I always say it wrong. Hagen, how do you say her last name? Do you know how to say it, Tara? Hagen-Dees? Sarah H, man. That she got the call in that regional final, that winner take all game, and she was lights out. And then Mariah Mazon just hit a home run every time she faced Tennessee, it seemed like. And so that was just a, you know, great performance. Mariah is the only senior in a very, very young Oregon State roster, very young. And you could tell that they all wanted her to keep playing, and she wanted to keep playing, and they were just jazzed up. They had to win twice on Sunday. And they looked like they had more energy, and Tennessee's offense just kind of went, they just went south and just didn't produce the clutch hits. So they earned it. And, but again, I would have never predicted, I would have more predicted Stanford. I think we were more like thinking Stanford had a chance against Bama, as crazy as that sounds, but with Bama's offense being not producing at a great rate, but Oregon State was kind of a, you know, that matchup to come together really was something that was pretty off the radar, but again, Tennessee, man, they lose on their home field again for the second straight year. So we'll see. They launched the JMU Cinderella run last year here in Knoxville. So maybe we'll have a similar thing with the Pac team, although a Pac-12 team being a Cinderella is kind of a stretch, but, you know, but an unpredictable Oklahoma State run. I mean, Oklahoma City run is probably what we could call it.
Is it Hedinges?
Is that how you say it? And pardon me, I'm willing to admit when I can't say names. I've heard it on the broadcast. Courtney Lyon, Danielle Laurie did a great job saying it, but I was at the field sometimes, so I didn't hear it all the time. So,
yeah, we'll go back.
Great. She's great.
So that's Oregon State and Stanford. Again, we will for sure have a Pac-12 team in Oklahoma City. We could potentially have five, you never know, but for sure we will have one heading out of that Palo Alto regional. So that's kind of the biggest storylines. Other than that, we can look at Texas, another unseeded team. They went up to Seattle and beat Washington on their home turf and ended Gabby Plain's career. What an incredible career for Gabby Plain up at Washington, and they will be facing a tough Arkansas squad who we've been talking about all season long, and they kind of rolled through their regional, taking beating Oregon in Fayetteville. But Ree, what do you got on that Texas Arkansas matchup in Fayetteville?
Yeah, Hogs versus Horns, man. I'm excited for this one. I think this is going to be a really good one. As you said, we've talked about Arkansas a lot. They have great. They have almost every component covered. The offense, as we know, but it's very prolific. Vocal Bombers for a reason up there. They hit the ball out a lot. And you know, their slugging percentage, it's three players slugging over 800 and then also batting over 350 at the same time. It's just kind of crazy. And they're all just chasing each other on the home run leaderboard there. But you got Haley Dulcini, who is such a gamer for Texas, just an iron woman in every sense. And she's willing to just, you know, her final season, she's going to go out carrying that squad as far as she can. And Texas offense started to, you know, they can produce. They've got Janae Jefferson, who's amazing in every sense. And they're getting some more production from a lot of people in the lineup. So that's going to be a very interesting games because with Shanice Dels and Mary Half, that's a quality staff, those two kind of tag team. Whether Haley can hold down that lineup, because that's going to be it, because there's not much support. They have other pitchers, but she's it. So I'm just interested to see that matchup, Haley versus the Arkansas juggernaut lineup. But as we know, Haley is one of few pitchers that beat Oklahoma this season. So she's not like she hasn't seen teams that have a lineup that's pretty intimidating. So I'm very excited about that super regional. That's probably one of the ones I'm targeting the most to watch. I'll watch all of them, but that's one that I'm like appointment viewing on the main TV that I'll have up.
So that's Texas and Arkansas. We talked about Arizona, Mississippi State. That was a two seed slot, 2 and 15. But we'll go to the number 1-16. It's Oklahoma versus UCF. And, you know, there was reports about Jordy Ball, and updated today, don't think she's going to actually be throwing in the Supers. We'll be facing a tough UCF squad that Sydney Babalone has, you know, Woodall had an incredible performance. Mancha had a great performance in the circle. You got other Bejarano stepping up in key situations for the Knights. And of course you got Jada Cody. Are you kidding me? Any lineup that has Jada Cody in it, I it could be closer than everybody is saying. What are your thoughts, Ree?
Yeah, Jada Cody fly. I mean, we talked about a lot of people that fly under the radar. Jada Cody, not just offensively, defensively. I mean, she can put her anywhere on the field, literally anywhere. I'm sure she could pitch. She probably could. She's just amazing player and just, you know, an RBI and pretty much every at bat. I never count anyone out. I mean, Oklahoma's obviously a tier above, but without Jordy Ball, even though Nicole May and Hope is dope, Troutwine are great pitchers. So it's not like they fall off tremendously. But UCF's going to have that. I mean, they kind of have a little swagger to them. They're, you know, UCF, we learned from their football championship run a few years back that they're not afraid to kind of like come in and just take down all the big guns and the Power Five programs. And Cindy Balmalone Bear, as she's known, definitely she prepared them with a schedule to know what they're going to be going against teams like this, because they played, we saw them. It's kind of funny because you talk about Texas and UCF. If you would have told us after Clearwater that either, you know, they were just in the dumpster at that point, like, and the coaches would say as much, they were really struggling. So it's kind of cool to see some of these teams give them time to grow and evolve and find, you know, and find the rhythm and get to be able to, you know, participate in the tournament and now see how far they've come. So I definitely give UCF a shot. It's definitely not an easy road, but when you're them, you have nothing to lose and you just figure, hey, let's just get up there, pack our bags and see how long we can stay.
Yeah. So that's the number 1-16. Then we'll move to Florida Virginia Tech. That's, another intriguing matchup in Blacksburg, and head coach the Hokies, Pete D'Amore, seems like he just gets thrown out at least once a weekend to get his team fired up. You know, I know that strategy, but you're thinking, gosh, Pete, it's the second inning. You still got a ton of game to go, but it's worked for them. And, you know, Keely Richard in the circle and Emma Lemley And then that offense that just seems to step up when they need it against a Florida squad that, quite frankly, again, another one of those teams that beginning to middle of season, just kind of struggling, limping along and really coming on strong here, heading into Super Regionals. And with Tim Walton as a head coach, I really think another good regional that we're going to see a great matchup between the Gators and the Hokies. Ree, what are your thoughts on the Blacksburg region or Super Regional?
Yeah, it's going to be the first time they ever hosted a regional, and now a Super Regional, and tickets sold out quick. So it's going to be, they put in bleachers, extra bleachers for the whole postseason. So, and that man, that final game against Kentucky, that place was humming. That was so loud. You could hear it over the TV. It was crazy. And, you know, when Pete got, ejected or kicked out, he riled up the crowd on the way out and they just roared. So it's going to be, I mean, Florida's used to intimidating environments with the SEC, but this is actually the first time they've ever played in Blacksburg. So it'll be interesting to see that. You know, Rashard and Lemley. Lemley's, as you said, with Pete, it's getting those illegal pitches that are called on Emma Lemley, the freshman. She seems, what I've really been impressed with is that she seems to be able to kind of refocus quicker, as opposed to when it first started happening earlier in the season. She was able to kind of just like shrug it off and keep going. So that's a good thing for the Hokies in case that does crop up. And you're right about that offense, and they've needed to, because we Keely Rashard is definitely one of the best pitchers in the nation. She threw a no-hitter to start out that regional. It was 17 strikeouts, but she's not unhittable. She's had some outings where she's gotten hit around, and Florida's a team that patient at bats, and they're very aggressive on the base pass. If they can get on, they're speedy. They force defenses to make plays, and that's an issue that Virginia Tech has had in the past with defensive errors in the past seasons. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Walton approaches this. And Florida State's got a much deeper, like they can go pretty deep on their staff with Hightower, with Lugo, with Lexi Delbray, and they've got Riley too in there. So it's going to be basically Florida's offense against those pitchers. But I do think that they're coming in on a high. They cruised through their regional. They had two run rule victories. They really didn't have much, much opposition other than the weather. I think the weather was their biggest opponent there, just trying to get those games in. So if they can continue and have that confidence and keep that rolling into that and get some hits off Rashard and try to, force the issue on the base pass, they definitely have a chance. And it's Florida. They've got that entrenched program history and postseason experience, whereas the Hokies have some, but this is kind of a first for them in terms of hosting and being kind of the favorite opponent.
So that's the Blacksburg Super Regional, Virginia Tech and Florida. That's the 3 versus 10 seed there. Then we're going to hop on over to the Los Angeles Super Regional. UCLA Bruins will be facing Duke, the Blue Devils, in Los Angeles. Again, another interesting matchup. You've got UCLA, 12 national championships, and you've got Duke coming in, a really young program in Marissa Young. But I think that the Blue Devils were tested in their regional. I think Georgia has made them battle tested. They ended up needing 2 games to get out of there, got forced to a game 7, but really was impressed with Jayla Wright. We talked about this. I think she did a nice job coming in, throwing those 3 innings when Peyton St. George had tossed 2 shutout games. And then she came in, and when they needed to stop the bleeding, she got it done for them in the circle. And then you've got an offense. So you got 7 players hitting over 300. They can do it up and down the lineup. But I know, Ree, you've covered Duke significant amount this year. What do you got on the Blue Devils heading out to Los Angeles?
Yeah, you're right about Jayla Wright. Obviously, Shelby Walters got hurt, and now she's done for her career, basically. She's not going to come back. So Wright was kind of thrown in as a freshman to like, hey, you're going to get some innings. And she's gradually just, improved and gotten confidence, and just reps and everything against quality, hitters has helped. And that ACC is a lot deeper this year, so they get a lot more opponents that are, at this level that they're going to be seeing. And they're not afraid. They won't back down against anyone. They're not afraid to travel and play. We've seen that in their past. Like you said, Marissa Young she's built this program from the ground up. She's known that this is kind of the road you have to take. So she's never been afraid to take them on the road to play some tough teams. And they do. They have the power in the lineup. And Peyton St. George, I mean, she's a competitor in the circle. Like, she's not unhittable. We've seen her get a few outings, like every pitcher, but her veteran experience is really helpful to this team, especially when you have a freshman backing you up like Jayla Wright. So I think with, you know, Jameson Cabal and Christina Foreman's on a hot tear right now. They've got the bats in the lineup, and UCLA, it's going to be that UCLA pitching. They're going to have to figure out a way to solve that, which is a big, big, big test. But they definitely are not going to be intimidated at all. And I think they're going to be pumped up to get out and play there and just kind of set a standard for this program. This is what they've been wanting to do for a long time. And this is since they built that program up. And this is why some of these players came back, so they could do this. So I think they'll be really pumped to be out there. It's just a matter of if they hit Frame or can they hit Acevedo. And, you know, if UCLA's offense can show up, you know more about UCLA. So that side of it, I'll leave to you.
Yeah, keep an eye on Delaney Wiz, just leading that offense there. She's leading in RBIs and home runs. Brianna Perez, the shortstop, she's right there with her. And then Maya Brady, the center fielder for the Bruins. But again, I think you're right. I think it's if they're going to be able to hit Holly Acevedo and Megan Faramo, and then Lauren Shaw, the lefty, they've got another look from the left-hand side. So the Bruins will be taking on the Blue Devils in Los Angeles at Easton Stadium. That's the 5-12 seed. Then we'll head on over to the 7-10 seed. That's Clemson and Oklahoma State in Stillwater. And Clemson, they've gotten it done in the circle. They've gotten it done at the plate. Again, you've got Cagle and Maxwell as the aces, but also both sides, I think it's going to be whether or not they can make that offense work and get timely hitting. Ree, I know you've covered extensively the Clemson Tigers. What do you got, John Rittman's squad?
Yeah, coming in, they were another one. Them in Florida cruised through their regionals. It was kind of the ones where, like, there was really not even like a threat. Like, they just, you know, they did what they had to do. They weren't going to make it last longer. They had two run rule wins in there. What really impressed me out of that regional, other than, you know, just the offense, everyone kind of contributing a little bit, was the pitching of Millie Thompson, their sophomore lefty. If you've seen Clemson and you've ever seen someone in the circle that has eye black that looks like warrior paint, that's Millie Thompson. And also, if you've ever seen John Rittman do interviews and someone that's behind him doing all kinds of theatrics and dancing and wearing crazy hats, that's Millie Thompson too. She's apparently afraid of water, and she got doused with it. So she has overcome her phobia with water. It's very weird. But she was very impressive in the circle. And that's kind of what they needed, because Cagle last year started to wear down a little bit as the season went along, with how much because she's obviously a two-way threat, one of the best in the country. So if they can, you know, when Millie's ability to get some more innings and allow Valerie to kind of relax a little bit and not have to always be the ace or someone that has to pitch every inning has been great this year. They've got some veterans like Cami Pereira that's come back and really tried, you know, she was a huge in that regional final game, was huge at the plate, come through in pretty much every at bat. I think she was 3-for-3. They have some in their offense. It has waned a little bit here and there at some games, but they've got a lot of ability throughout that offense with Aaliyah Laguleo kind of coming on strong in the ACC tournament. Mackenzie Clark is a fire starter. So they're going to be excited, because, you know, I just always have to emphasize this. This program is in its second full season. I mean, this second full season, and they're already at the Super Regional. So they're going to be heading over there and facing, as you said, a quality Oklahoma State team that we know won't have Miranda Ellis in the circle, but she will be at the plate. And she has been really good at the plate. And then Morgan Day and is backing up Kelly Maxwell. And she's been kind of she's found her form there and taking advantage of those innings and really been a great player for them. So it's going to be very intriguing. A lot of orange will be worn on both sides. So, which I had here too with Oregon State, Tennessee. It's kind of an orange theme that the committees matched up these teams, but
So that's Stillwater. Again, I still haven't been able to watch a game in the Corral. That's on my to-do list, but it's probably not going to happen this year, but hopefully by next year I'll be able to get out to the Corral. So that's a 7-10 seed. And then we'll finish with Northwestern and ASU. That's the 8-9. Another great matchup. I think it's a case of, can Daniel Williams beat Arizona State two times in a row? And an offense that Arizona State has. I don't know if she's going to be able to, but if anybody can, it's her, because she's got all the stuff. She's got the spin. There's a lot of swings and misses with Danielle Williams, and the Wildcats, they've got an offense to back her up, and they've done so all season long. And the biggest question mark is can that offense, you know, get into Williams? And then on the flip side, can ASU's pitching staff hold down the Wildcat offense, because they are quite balanced. I think it's a pretty balanced matchup. But Ree, final thoughts on this 8-9 matchup in Tempe at Farington?
Yeah, I'm very intrigued. I don't want to break it down to the simplest like we do, like, oh, but to me it is. It's Danielle Williams against that ASU offense. I mean, because that's just like, it's complete, like a dominant pitcher against just a prolific, crazy good offense in a stadium where the balls just fly out. You know, the elevation, it cracks me up. People talk about the elevation in like Tempe. I'm like, have you been to elevation? Like, I know it's higher than like sea level, but they act like we're on like Mount Kilimanjaro when they're talking about it on the broadcast.
I'm pretty sure that Fayetteville has got the same elevation or higher. So I think the balls fly out more in Fayetteville than they actually do in Tempe, but I think it sounds good, right?
Does, I guess. I don't know. I actually looked it up because I'm like, how high is it there? It's like 4,000. I don't know. It's like not even that high. But that's really what it just that and even, I mean, it's something to consider too is the heat. I mean, I don't know, like Northwestern, that, you know, how with when you have a pitcher going that long, how Williams is impacted by heat. I don't know. Maybe that's something. But it does come down to just, can ASU key in on her and get her out and have force Northwestern to go to someone else? And it's a really hard ask because we've seen she's so crafty and durable, but that offense is a different level. And players like freshman Sid Sanders, I mean, just crazy numbers putting up this season. So I'm just that's going to be just really compelling to see how Danielle approaches that lineup and how the Northwestern coaches call those pitches and call to each batter and face that lineup and craft a plan for them.
Yeah, the rookie Sidney Sanders, Yanni Acuna. And on the Torres, the Sun Devils, again, I think that's what we're going to keep our eye on. That's it for the Super Regional previews. And I'll be out at Los Angeles. I'll be at the Los Angeles Regional covering Duke and UCLA. We'll have coverage on all 8 sites across the country, with 2 sites starting on Thursday today. Actually, this podcast, we're taping it on Wednesday, but it'll air on a Thursday. And everything available on the site on d1softball.com. Ree, any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I would just check out, like, and if you need to catch up, like, we still got those regionals up. The regional, we had daily things, so you can kind of go back and see how each team progressed to where they are. And then we have tremendous Super Regional previews. I mean, those things are so encompassing. They've got the full lineups, all the stats, the schedules, even the commentators, so you know who you're listening to. So I just recommend heading to the site and clicking on each one of those to kind of get a refresher. And they're really, and just all weekend too, we'll still have something like last weekend where we have the you know, Super Regional live centrals, so that you can make sure if you happen to miss a few innings or something, or you're working on Thursday or Friday, you can go in there and kind of quickly catch up. It was great. I mean, I was trying to follow every game, but then reading some of the stuff, I'm like, oh, I missed that. That's great. So I'd highly recommend that.
So head on over to the site, d1softball.com. We'll have a Super Regional Central, all those Super Regionals all in one place. And again, all the scores across the country, you'll be able to check them out as they're going in real time. That's it for the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm Tara Henry for Rhiannon Potke. We will see you all next week, live from Oklahoma City. Have a great week.